You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Foot and mouth disease is an affliction that's looming over Aotearoa right now. It affects livestock, and considering our economy's heavy reliance on agricultural exports, the possibility of it getting into the country would be catastrophic. This morning I spoke to two experts on the matter. First, here's Associate Professor of Veterinary Epidemiology from Massey University, Carolyn Gates. I started by asking her about the modes of transmission that the disease has.
So foot and mouth disease can spread through a number of different routes, and so the main one is actually direct contact between infected animals, and so that's, if it gets into a herd, it will spread very rapidly to other herd mates. But one of the things that makes it very challenging to control is there's also a lot of indirect contact routes, and that is partly because FMD survives really well in the environment. And so that means it can spread through the wind, it can spread through water. If it's on any equipment or clothing or vehicles, it can be transmitted from farm to farm that way as well. So lots of different ways it can spread.
What species of animals can it infect?
Pretty much everything with cloven hooves, and so that includes your cattle, sheep, goats, deer, pigs, alpacas, llamas, buffalo, and about 70 species of wildlife actually as well. So that's one of the things that makes it such a devastating disease, that if it does get into a country, it can wipe out pretty much the entire livestock population.
And what are the symptoms?
So the main ones you're going to notice are painful blistering, and that tends to occur around the mouth, the feet, and the udder, which causes the animals to stop eating, become lame, and produce less milk. And so most of them, well, depending on the species, it will impact the severity of the signs. But most adults will tend to recover in about 2 weeks, although we can see some that have permanent damage, so things like long COVID. And then overall, about 1 to 5% of adult cattle will die from the disease, but the mortality rates can be much, much higher among young animals. We can see death rates of about 20, sometimes up to 100% in affected herds.
Is there a vaccination or a cure?
There is vaccines for FMD, and they have been used in a lot of control programs. We tend not to use them in countries like as a preventative measure because it interferes with our ability to test for foot and mouth. So one of the ways we screen populations for the disease is to look for an immune response to it. And if the animals have been vaccinated in the population, we don't know if that is if they're getting an immune response to the vaccine or the virus. So again, it tends to be used more in certain control situations, like, for example, in the outbreak in Indonesia, they're currently vaccinating as part of measures to control.
So what do farms tend to do when livestock are infected?
They tend not to have much choice. And so one of the problems with FMD is it's an internationally regulated disease. Because of the severity of impacts, there's a lot of laws governing trade around that to prevent spread. And so if it gets into a country like New Zealand where it's not currently, the government jumps on the response very, very quickly because we will lose trade access. And the sooner we get the disease under control, the sooner we can regain that trade access. So farmers, unfortunately, do not have much choice in this. There's a very set plan in place, and so if you actually go onto the MPI website, they have a really great document outlining exactly what would happen during an outbreak response.
Is there any research being done into the disease in New Zealand?
In terms of there's been some modeling work, if that's what you're asking. So
yeah.
A lot of groups have worked on developing simulation models to predict what would happen in New Zealand if an outbreak occurred. And so I think like SimCity or Farmville, and we play around with understanding how fast it could spread, what kind of resources would need to be in place to control it, how long the outbreak would last, and the economic impacts. It's really trying to make some little case scenarios ahead of time to experiment with what might work or what might not work in the event of a real outbreak. So a lot of preparedness work.
And what effect might consuming contaminated meat have on human health?
Absolutely none. So there's been about, I think, 40 case reports in history of foot and mouth disease transmitting to human, but it does not affect the meat or milk at all. And so it's safe to eat.
This is a bit of a left field question, but if it is airborne, there are studies that document dormant bacteria or viruses or other microorganisms travelling via the atmosphere. So it is worst case scenario, but is it possible that any biosecurity measures might actually just be redundant?
So if we know foot and mouth disease can spread through aerosol transmission, so that was actually a huge problem in the UK outbreak in 2001, particularly around pig farms that spread a lot, that it can go locally through air currents. I'm not familiar with any documents of like transboundary, so going between countries from that route of transmission. I think it's probably very, very unlikely. Our main way of getting it is going to be contaminated meat products, either brought in by passengers or that slipped through the mail, or potentially people tracking FMD in on their clothing and shoes if they've come from countries where the disease is widespread. So I'd say probably minimal risk for New Zealand because we're in the middle of nowhere.
And what can we do to prevent it reaching New Zealand?
So MPI has a lot of good biosecurity measures in place at the border. So for any meat products or animal products coming through the normal channels, there is very strict regulations about what can be imported from which countries and what sort of pre-import measures have to be in place in that home country to minimize the risk of FMD being in that product. And the second arm of that is controlling mail coming in. So they screen to make sure people aren't trying to import animal products through mail. And then lastly is the passenger screening. So anyone coming into New Zealand, they do ask questions about where you've been prior to coming into New Zealand. They have the sniffer dogs trying to catch any meat products. And I think now they've introduced like foot baths to help clean shoes of passengers coming in from overseas. And so there's a lot of measures in place just to try to stop it coming over the border.
That was me speaking with Associate Professor of Veterinary Epidemiology from Massey University, Carolyn Gates. And to carry on the investigation into foot and mouth disease, now here's MPI's Chief Veterinary Officer on what we're doing to ensure it doesn't get into the country. I started by asking about risk mitigation measures at our borders.
You know, New Zealand has some really stringent biosecurity measures. We've got a biosecurity system made up of layers, and some of those layers have been stepped up or enhanced disease in Indonesia. Our first line of defense outside of New Zealand is our import health standards. So they make sure that no animals or animal products or semen or embryos from animals that come from countries that are affected with foot and mouth disease are able to come into New Zealand. So because we have a very favourable disease status in New Zealand, we're free of loads of diseases that harm animal production, we don't import any of those types of things. So no live animals, no germplasm, and no unprocessed animal products come into New Zealand from any country with foot and mouth disease. The detector dogs, there are the biosecurity staff, there is the x-ray of all cabin baggage and all checked-in baggage. The all mail products that come into New Zealand in the post from Indonesia are x-rayed and also checked by dogs. Biosecurity New Zealand risk assessors and quarantine officers are also checking all cargo containers that come from Indonesia and, you know, on a risk-based basis from other parts of the world. Anybody who's come from Indonesia, even via another port, is still able to be identified and their bags are examined. Particularly all footwear is checked, so the shoes that people are wearing, but also the shoes in luggage are checked for any signs of contamination, and people are going through disinfectant mats. Previously, travellers from Indonesia were able to bring processed meat products into New Zealand. So processing kills foot and mouth disease, particular types of processing. Just to make it really clear about what is and what isn't allowed, we've actually just stopped that from happening as well. It just kind of cuts down on any conversation. People don't have to make decisions. Anything that's an animal product from Indonesia now isn't allowed to come in hand luggage.
And what is MPI's risk mitigation advice to the public or to farmers or lifestyle block owners?
Yeah, that's a great question. Firstly, we want everybody to be alert for the clinical signs of foot and mouth disease in animals. Farmers and veterinarians on farm are good at knowing what's normal for their animals. And so if you see signs of a disease or sick animals that isn't normal, hasn't something that happens in New Zealand, we really need people to be alert to that and to ring the 0800 pest and disease hotline. So that's 0800 80 99 66 to report those clinical signs. That hotline's manned 24/7 by veterinary epidemiologists who are ready to kind of talk over those cases and do tests or farm visits or whatever is required to investigate those to a point of diagnosis. So the first thing that everybody needs to do is be aware of what the clinical signs of foot and mouth disease are and to report any suspicious signs to the Exotic Pest and Disease Hotline 0800 80 99 66. And of course, this number is not only available for foot and mouth disease, it's available for any exotic pest or disease that comes to anyone's attention. So please ring that one. In terms of on-farm biosecurity and what people can do to stop the spread of disease, including foot-and-mouth disease, keeping good farm records and keeping NAIT records up to date. This will really help us if we need to contact trace a farm, and that will help us to understand how a farm became infected, but also which other farms might be at risk because of a particular farm being infected. We have rules and laws in place about feeding swill to pigs, and it's really important that those rules are followed. Swill needs to be cooked so that it's made safe. The reason for this is that if there was an illegally imported meat product that came into New Zealand, if that was fed to pigs and it wasn't properly cooked, that is a way that foot and mouth disease could start to be passed around the New Zealand animal populations. For people who are coming from Indonesia or from any country that has foot and mouth disease, because foot and mouth disease is widespread across Africa, Asia, and Southeast Asia, some parts of South America, we're asking people to please fill in the arrival cards properly. Please follow all the instructions at the border from our biosecurity staff. Please don't bring any unprocessed animal products into New Zealand. And please also, if you've had contact with animals or farms, wilderness areas in a country with foot and mouth disease, and you're coming back to New Zealand, please have a 7-day stand down period between being in contact with animals or farms in an infected country and going on to farms in New Zealand.
In the worst case scenario, what is the plan should there be a detection in New Zealand?
Should there be a detection in New Zealand, that farm would need to have movement restrictions put onto it very quickly. This is where the exotic pest and disease hotline comes in. So if a farmer or a veterinarian rings that hotline, somebody will be able to be on that farm really quickly who's experienced an exotic disease diagnosis, make an assessment. If they still feel that there's a chance that this is an exotic disease like foot and mouth disease, they're able to get somebody to take samples of that farm, get those to the animal health laboratory, and also place movement controls on that property so that spread can't continue. Should the disease then be confirmed, there would need to be a national livestock movement standstill. So that means that any susceptible animals, animals with cloven hooves then, so cattle, deer, sheep, goats, pigs, alpacas, and llamas, they won't be able to move. And the reason that this is important is because disease can spread very quickly. We want all animals in New Zealand to stop moving while we assess how far disease has already spread. And then as we become comfortable that some zones are free of disease, those areas will be able to return to activity, but other areas will still need to be in some degree of taking care with what types of activities are able to happen. Some activities may not be able to happen. Some activities may only be able to happen under certain precautions. If a farm that is identified as infected, those stock will have to be killed and disposed and the property disinfected, cleaned, disinfected. And then, you know, we would be following up those traces, following up with farms that are very close to that farm to look for other cases. So it's really something that has to happen really quickly. And what we need to do is find the edges of the outbreak and remove those farms from the population so that it doesn't spread any further. It's a very infectious disease, so speed will be absolutely essential in this case.
That was me speaking to Dr. Mary Van Andel, MPI's Chief Veterinary Officer, about what Aotearoa is doing to mitigate the risk of foot and mouth disease entering the country.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.